Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Can we all stand for the reading of God's word? It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Hallelujah. That was my life's mission. That's the verse that God used to call me into the ministry. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. Let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Let it declare, Lord, your kingdom come and your will being done in and through our lives, God. Have your way with us tonight. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. Move any way you want to move. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. And all in agreement said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. And from Hawaii, after 27 years in Hawaii, God would move me to Wasilla. Wasilla, Alaska, baby. And every place I go and everybody I tell that story to, they look at me like I've done something crazy. But there is something about Wasilla. There is something about Alaska. God is moving. And God is doing great and mighty things here that he ain't doing nowhere else. And Hawaii got hot for me. I don't understand it, but God moves in sovereign ways. And I started coming to visit when Pastor Daniel needed a break and he had to go on vacation or had some kind of issue. He would call me from back in Hawaii and to fly up to Alaska and come and preach. And it's great. Ever since I've been coming here, I've met a lot of people that I never would have met before. And I just love Hawaii for its diversity and for the different kinds of people, because I just think this is a snapshot of heaven. There's this white, yellow, black, brown, blue, purple, all kind of people here, you know, and we all just get along here in this church, and we all just more than get along, we love each other and we care for each other. And if that's not you yet, just hold on. Hallelujah, because the Spirit of God is going to come upon you and you're going to love the unlovable. You're going to like the unlikable, and because you're going to realize that there are people just like you. You know, I've been blessed since I've been here, but I met Pastor Kirsten in Hawaii, and Pastor Daniel told me to go help that man. This had to be 20-something years ago, and he went to the ghetto. And you know, you might not associate Hawaii with the ghetto, but you, if you're from the ghetto, you know no matter what language they speak, no matter what color they are, when you step in there, you know what a ghetto is. And he took me to the ghetto, what was it called, Harbor Lights? Or my goodness. I mean, I'm like, whoa, these brothers, they were huge, scary people. And Pastor Kirsten went down there like he owned the place. And we just set up a movie. He showed people a movie. I forget what the movie was, but it was some funny movie. And everybody said, served on popcorn. Halfway through the movie, he gave an altar call, invited the people to come and get prayer. It was an amazing thing for somebody to go together. And I know how dangerous that is. So it was like he was endeared to my heart. And when he said this morning during his message that he almost committed suicide, there was this big lump of sadness that welled up inside of me. And I went, oh, Pastor Kirsten, don't say that. You know, such a blessing in my life. You know, he invited me over to his house and served me and Ava chicken. Hallelujah. I ain't no stereotype, but if you're cooking chicken, you can call me anytime. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll never forget that. I've had so many experiences in KC. And especially since I came to Alaska, I remember that Chancey's mom used to call me on the phone I don't know where my son is at. You go find Chancy for me. I'm like, not to go search the whole city of Wasilla for Chancy, like I knew streets in Wasilla. But I would go search him down, and then I'd just end up praying for him. And he would come out and come back to his family, and it was cool. He was a rabble-rouser running around town doing all kind of mess, you know. But look at him now, sitting on the front row, serving Jesus. Hallelujah. On fire for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And don't let me start talking about Pastor Capo. Oh, my goodness. This young man, when I first came to church, was like, whoa. You know, he just looks like any other Hawaiian. He's just kind of cool and laid back. But don't let that settled demeanor fool you. That boy got it going on. I seen this man. I'm sitting there. He served us dinner at his house. He had all the youth in the church at his house. And he's eating, talking to me, and playing a video game and kicking three or four guys' butts with one hand. As they were like sweating in it, and he's just like, da, da, da. Oh, Pastor Vince, huh? You know, just, and eating his meal and everything. And I was like, wow, this dude is cool cucumber. And youth followed him everywhere. And we actually had the first youth meeting of King's Wasilla at the Lucille branch. We lit that place up. People called and complained about the noise. They called and complained about the lights flashing. What is going on over there? Because we found every light, every speaker that we could in that church. We lit that place up. Come on. Hallelujah. Revival fire was already brewing. I remember reporting to Pastor Daniel something that he couldn't know of. I said, that guy, you know, that Tim Capo guy, he's going to be your number one guy. I remember telling him that. Like he didn't know that. But praise God. Well, you know, something happens on you when you take your normal everyday self and the Spirit of God comes on you. So I know what you want to know is, how do I get the Spirit of God on me? You know, so I'm going to tell you how to get the Spirit of God on you the same way it's got on me. And I mean on you. It's one thing to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and have the Spirit of God inside of you and fire coming out of you and... But when your Spirit of God comes on you, there is something different that happens. There's a transformation that takes place, and it's a crazy thing. It's a wild thing, and you go from being from something normal to something abnormal, something strange, something very powerful, something that the God of the ages is working through you. God will reveal himself in you, and I'm going to tell you how to do this. You got to get involved. You got to get moving. The Spirit of the Lord, God doesn't come upon you for nothing. It comes upon you for something. And it's not just for you to give you goosebumps. It's so that God can pour his power through you. God's going to use you in a mighty way. I had to come to the realization that the Spirit of the Lord was upon me and that he had anointed me to preach the gospel. You know, when I was in high school, I wasn't a very famous sports guy. I was on a swim team in the middle of the ghetto. Swim team, not a very popular, you know, if you was on the football team, yeah. If you was on the basketball team, yeah. Two teams I couldn't get on, okay? But the swimming team needed people. So I'm like, hey, I can swim, you know? They put me on the swimming team and I was a pretty good swimmer. I was actually an All-American swimmer. That's right. But I was in the ghetto, which doesn't mean the same thing as an All-American swimmer outside of the ghetto. In the ghetto, I was formidable. I was a great man. Outside of the ghetto, you put your kids in the pool against me, they'd outswim me. But in the ghetto, swimming against other ghetto people, I was bad. Woo! I was something to deal with. My number one stroke was the backstroke. And I remember swimming in backstroke in high school. I lettered in high school. Praise God. And that's all I wanted was a letter. But I wasn't a very good swimmer. But but I still was an All-American in my high school. Praise God. And what does that have to do with the anointing? Nothing. Hallelujah. But you know, it was a start. You know, at least I had liquid on me. Woo! And God, and I had no idea that God wanted to use me the way he did. The Spirit of God is upon you to do something. The anointing is something that you operate in. I can give you words. I can give you definitions. You know, it's about, you know, being set apart for God's purposes. But God can't anoint somebody that ain't doing nothing. Because he ain't going to give you something to do nothing. Okay. He will give you something if you're going to do something. All right. So we are going to Anchorage on the 24th of August. Just under 2 weeks, we're going to Anchorage. And we're going to go as a church. And you guys are going with us. It's going to be a Saturday night. And we're going to party hard. We're going to hit Anchorage with the fire of the Holy Ghost. We're going to go and we're going to worship God like a house on fire. And we're going to say, you know how you find a room? Look for the room that's on fire, because that's where we're going to be. When you come to the Cook Hotel and you see that flame jumping up, say, I'm going to get in that. Hallelujah, because the power of God is going to manifest itself in a great way. It's going to show up, and our anointed leadership is going to shine. Whew. We're going to have a lot of fun. While I was in Hawaii, Pastor Daniel made me a minister, and my name was Minister Vince then. And then, before I left Hawaii, he made me a pastor. And he asked me to put up an air dome. And the only air dome, it's the only air dome in the state of Hawaii. Nobody had ever put up an air dome in the state of Hawaii. If you don't know what an air dome is, it's a building held up by air. And it was crazy. And he was like, hey, I bought an air dome, put it up. Rodney Howard Brown is coming. And I was like, wow. But you know what? When he said put it up, when the pastor asked you to do something, the power to do it, the anointing to do it comes on you. And something jumped up on me and I just went, yes, sir. Although I had no idea of how to do what he had asked me to do. And that was a strange thing to have no doubt that I could do it, even though I had never done it. And me and my crew, we got together. Somebody looked up Air Dome on the internet. We put that thing up, and Dr. Rodney Howard Brown came, and he had a revival meeting in Lahui, Kauai, Hawaii. And that Air Dome went up the day before he came. A week before he came, he sent his crew to do evangelism and then invite people to church. And I remember he was coming on a Saturday. And I remember that Thursday they came into the dome, which we had inflated, but it didn't have a floor. And he said, maybe we should look for another venue. And I remember telling them, I said, you can look for another venue if you want to. There's no other venue that can fit him that we'll be comfortable in. We will be here on Friday night at 7 p.m., and we'll be ready to go. And they tried to find another venue, but they couldn't find it. But at 7 p.m. that Friday night, Rodney Howard Brown came and gave his message in that air dome in Hawaii, the first and the only air dome that they had in Hawaii at the time. So God does great and mighty things, will anoint you for great and mighty things. You will do things that you think you cannot do. But I know this verse excited me to preach the gospel to the poor. Oh, my goodness. And we're not talking about people who were financially poor. We're not just talking about them. We're talking about people who were spiritually poor. People that would have no other reason to hear what you had to say except that it was anointed. That God had anointed you. He put his spirit on you. And you started talking, and people turned around and started listening. It was crazy. I got a big booming voice. I don't really know if I need this mic, but it's for people that's online and things. But in here, I had enough voice to reach all of y'all in here, and y'all wouldn't miss it. Okay, but I do this for the recording purposes. It's because people want to listen at a later date. But God is good. He gave me a voice that I cut through crowds. I've been in crowds before, and people needed their attention, and I just would. And I would hey so loud that everybody would turn around and listen to me. And I would introduce the man of God. Hallelujah. So, you know, God can use you in whatever capacity you might think. But I remind you of scriptures that say, your little is much in God's hands. A little boy took a sandwich to a church meeting one day. He fed the whole church. Fed the whole 5,000 people with his lunch. Because your little is much in God's hand. Peter got up after took his foot out of his mouth for the first time in his life and spoke a message that drew 5,000 people into the church in one message. And that man ain't do nothing but stumble around and make all kind of highfalutin statements and never did anything until he opened his mouth after being filled with the Holy Ghost. And 5,000 people got saved. That's a great message. And that's a great voice. And that takes anointing. And that takes power. You might not think that people can see you in what you do. You're running around talking about little old me. You walk into your house. You're the youngest one in the family. You the runt. Nobody has ever listened to you before. But when anointing comes on you, things change. I'm telling you, when God comes on you, everything changes. And you got to let God do that for you. And so a lot of people, the anointing comes on and they don't do nothing. Well, that's not going to happen too many times. But when you step forth, the anointing grows. The further into the anointing you go, the further you're open to be used by God, you'll go. You're looking at, look, my wife had to deal with an unsaved I was messed up. I was tore up from the floor up, messed up from the neck up. I was terrible. But that lady loved me. And she loved me out of darkness into his marvelous light. If it hadn't been for her, I wouldn't be up here today. But you know what? God is a God of order. He sets things in order. I remember the day that God told me that he said, you cannot be the spiritual wuss, for lack of a better word, in your family. You have to be the head of your family. I was like, what? Yeah, you got to be the spiritual head of your family. So when God speaks to you, he doesn't have to explain everything. Just him telling you something, you know what he means. And I remember going home that day and telling my wife, and that's why I'm standing up here. She's over there. I can tell a story from up here. Praise God. And I remember telling her, I said, you got to go. And she said, what? I said, you got to leave. She said, what are you talking about? I said, you got to go. I was dropping her off at work. That's what it was. I was dropping her off at work. She lived 25 miles away from where we lived. And I dropped off at work. I didn't even get to work. I pulled over to the side of the road and I said, get out. And she was like, what? I was like, get out. I said, me and you, we're done. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, well, I'm going to be the head of my house. And I know that you want to be a head of the house or you want to equal say, but that's not what God wants. And so you can be the head of your own house. I'm going to be the head of mine. Get out of my car. And she got out of the car. And she went on to work. I spent the whole day calling my pastor. Hey, my wife called you yet? I was scared to death she was going to leave me. I was shaking in my boots, man. I was like, I was ready to repent, cry, all kind of, I was already crying. I was like, God, what do you make me do? But I get a call from my wife later on in the day. She's like, you know, can we talk? I was like, yeah, we can talk. And we came to an agreement. Whew. Scariest day of my life. But you know what? God will not let you stand where you are. He will not let you stay the way, even though he loves you just the way you are. He loves you too much to leave you that way. He will cause you to rise up and be. And I know when we say things like, you know, we're trying to make you a leader. We're trying to raise you up. It's because God has anointed us to raise you up. And I know a lot of y'all, Raise your hand if I've been to your house. Jesus, I see all these hands going up. Praise God. I want y'all to know that I didn't want to come to your house. I didn't want to come. You know, it's just that Pastor Daniel, he made me. He's my anointed leader, and he made me. He said, you will go to these people's house and knock on their door and ask them if they have any need of prayer. He made me do it. He said, you going back to Cleveland? I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. He said, I will send you back to Cleveland. You better go knock on these people's doors. And y'all thought Pastor Vince, oh, he's such nice. He shows up. He prays. They made me. And if you stay in this church, we're going to make you do stuff you don't want to do. They did it to me. I'm doing it to you. I'm going to make you do stuff you don't want to do. Praise God. I'm going to make you fight. Instead of lay down and go, oh, it's me. I'm a poor little thing. I need some more help. I'm going to make you fight because I know how to fight. I'm going to get you in a fight. I'm going to have Pastor Daniel, Pastor Kirsten, take you down to the ghetto. Okay. And deal with people that don't want to be dealt with. That's how we all raised up. We go places, we do stuff we don't want to do. But when we do, the anointing comes on us. Supernaturally empowered. Woo! Oh my goodness. You can become addicted to the anointing. Hallelujah. But the anointing is not for you. You have to remember that. The anointing is not for you. It's for the people that God is sending you to. It's not for me. I don't have a whole bunch of stuff because of the anointing, but I have been to some dark places with some dark people and saw the power of God move because I believed God more than I believed what I saw with my eyes or heard with my ears. I can't tell you how much that'll get in the way, but hearing from God changes everything, and obeying him changes everything, changes everybody, makes you fearless, makes you strong. I've had dogs run down on me, and I'm like, what? You know, because I wouldn't understand. I've been bit by a dog since I've been here in Wasilla. That's why I'll never turn my back on another dog ever again in my life. That's where I made my mistake. I was too bold, turned my back on the dog, bit me right in the hinder parts. But that's only happened to me one time in my life. And it'll never happen again. Because the next dog that try to bite me, I'm going to bite them first. I don't care what they wearing. I don't care what they look like. I got teeth and I know how to use them. It's on, baby. You come at me again, it's on. Sneak up behind me. Mm-mm. That ain't happening no more. But he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Sent me to heal the brokenhearted. I understand about being brokenhearted. I understand having your heart cracked. I understand about being lonely. I understand about feeling that you're the least in the kingdom, that nobody cares about you, but somebody does care about you. And his name is God. Because if I come knocking on your door, I know you know one thing. God cares about you. That's why I'm there. Because God sent me to knock on your door and to get you out of whatever mess, out of distress you in. Because that's what we do. We go where we're not supposed to go say what we're not supposed to say and do what we're not supposed to do, all in the name of Christ. And what's the power of God? Fire! Hit your situation, hit your circumstances, and changes everything. It's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. I love the word of God because it has scriptures like, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you know, you can't say that word power, right? You have to get, anybody seen Star Wars? You got to tap into your inner Darth Vader. And you shall receive power. Yeah, power. It ain't nice, fine power, puppy power. No, it's power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Hey! Woo! When Pastor Daniel lays hands on you, it's power. That's all. He don't know everything that's wrong with you. He don't care. He just wants the Holy Spirit to do in you what needs to be done. So he looses what he has on you, and you, woo! When Pastor Daniel laid hands on you, you felt like you have laid hands on you. Hallelujah. I remember when I first gave my life to the Lord. I was in a bar on the island of Kauai. Oh, don't look at me like that. Like you ain't never been in no bar. Okay. Never been in no club, you know, but I was in a bar and my wife, I don't have to explain to you what I was doing in a bar. I do what people do that go to a bar. Okay. And my wife was kind of late coming out of church. I don't think we had cell phones back then. So I just looked at my watch. It was time to pick her up. I sat in the parking lot for like half an hour and I was like, I'm going to get my wife. And I got up and I walked in the back of the church. And when I walked in the back, I took like three steps in that church and something just like, don't take one more step. And I just like, ugh. You know, before, I'm the kind of guy, you know, don't you know what you mean? Don't take another step. I'm one of them, you know, one of them hard-head people. Don't you do that. What's going to happen if I do? You know, hey. But when God spoke, I stopped. I froze in my tracks. I was like, uh-oh. What the heck is going on here? And it was like, you know what? If you take one more step, you'll die. And you know what? I knew he wasn't talking about a literal step inside that church. He was talking about the way that I lived my life and the kind of person that I was and the kind of mindset that I had. He said, don't you take one more step. I was like, why are you talking to me? And he was like, you know, because you need me. God loves you more than you love yourself. And I said, look, I'm about done with all this ooh stuff, you know, so, but I'll tell you what, I'll give this a shot. I'll give you 100%, and if this don't work out, don't you mess with me no more, and I won't mess with you no more. And I got like a Holy Ghost high five. I don't know any way to explain it back then. It was like, you think you get a hit, and you fall. I was like, boom, something like, whoa. What the heck was that? And all of a sudden, this fear came on me. I'm like, I'm getting out of here. And I went back in my car, and I kept hearing voices. What did you do? I don't know. Shut up. What did you do? I don't know. Shut up. You know, and I'm like in a car, you know, and I'm freaking myself out. Ava gets in the car. What's wrong with you? I don't know. You know, I'm freaking out. 3 days later, after me being quiet, for 3 days, Ava said, what's wrong with you? And I said, I went in the back of that church when I came and got you, and I heard this voice, and I don't know what happened after that. She starts jumping up and down. Ah! Ah! Thank you, Jesus! Hallelujah! I was like, what's wrong with you? And she was like, baby, you got saved. And I was like, what's that? That was wild. And I was in confusion for about, I don't know, 3-4 months. I couldn't figure anything out. I was this close to checking myself in to some kind of asylum or something. I was like about to go up to the job and say, I need help, you know, because I'm hearing voices. You know, people that hear voices are crazy. But, you know, I follow this scripture in the Bible that says, you know, my sheep hear my voice and then others they want to obey. And I said, well, God does speak to his people. So that's what's going on, huh? He was like, yeah. And he was trying to explain to me who he was and who I was in him. I was a new creature. I remember that night. That was a Sunday when I went into that church. And the next morning, on Monday morning, I woke up to go to work. Now, I know it seems like there's a big gap there, but you don't understand. Since the time I was 7 years old, I lived a tormented life. And I would hear demons, and I would hear all kind of ugly, gnarly stuff when I tried to sleep. I would get pinned in my bed, frozen, where I couldn't move and couldn't say anything. I could hardly breathe. Nobody could hear me talk. That was me trying to talk. Say, help me. And then I learned to call on the name of Jesus. And that thing had to let me go. After all those years, 17 years of torment, from the time I was 7 to the time I got saved when I was 26, that thing had just tried to ruin my life. And God set me free. I don't know about my math. Y'all help me. I didn't do real good in school. But God had set me free. And I woke up and there was clear liquid running down my face. And I was like, what is that, blood? And it was tears. And, you know, I'm from Cleveland. We don't cry unless we get something in our eye. You know, so it was like, I was like, wow, God had changed my heart. And I knew my heart was changed. And I knew he had did something for me that I couldn't do for myself. He set me free. And he delivered me. And nobody laid hands on me. Nobody touched me. God just spoke. And whatever that thing held at me bound, let me go. That's why when I pray with people, I pray with as someone having authority. Because I know that Jesus said, I was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. I don't know what's bothering you. I don't know what's harassing you. But that mess stops tonight. It stops now. Hey, you got to learn who you are in Christ. Love them little ones. Praise God. To proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. This is crazy, because I got a job working at the jail. The problem with Hawaii working at a jail and why they couldn't find anybody to fulfill a job is because everybody is related to everybody that's in the jail. That's my cousin, that's my uncle, that's, you know, and I'm going to jail to get a job. And I got a job because no Hawaiian would take it. It was a job reserved for Hawaiians. They said, we need somebody of Hawaiian. Nobody would take it, so they picked the next best thing, a black man. And they gave me that job, and I was a law librarian for 6 years in the state of Hawaii. I was a law librarian at the prison on the island of Kauai. It was a job that I was not qualified for. The qualifications was, you had to have a 4-year degree, 2 years of library, 2-year library degree, a 4-year basic degree, a bachelor's of arts in anything, and then 2 years as a librarian training. And I told the lady when she was trying to hire me, I said, I don't even have a library card. It wasn't true. You know, when God's favor come upon you, it's upon you. And that lady hired me on the spot because she needed to fulfill the position. And even though I didn't want to work in a prison, I don't want to be nowhere near a prison. I only went so I could collect unemployment. You got to apply for jobs if you're on unemployment, at least back when I was unemployed. Oh, praise God. Let me wrap this up because he helped me in that prison. I can tell you stories after stories where God intervened. But set at liberty those who are oppressed. I am anointed to remove oppression. I don't like it. It don't feel good to me. I I can't stand it. It just irks me to no end, because Jesus said he was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And in every scripture you talk about Jesus healing people, most of the time he mentioned and set them free from unclean spirits. A lot of the pain that you're suffering is needless. A lot of the anxiety that you have is needless. And it doesn't come from you. It's not because your goldfish died, okay? It's not because your husband left you. It's because the devil is trying to oppress you. And you got to know the difference. And but even if you don't know the difference, it matters not. The anointing will break that thing over your life. It'll bring it to an end. Jesus said, I was manifest. Let me put it in ghetto terms, to end the devil. I mean, I'm going to end everything he's doing, everything he's trying to do. I'm going to end him. Praise God. And I want to manifest that end through you. So you know what? You might have been picked on. You might be oppressed. You might be distressed. But I've seen people go through some pretty terrible stuff and God deliver them. And that's why when I pray for you, I don't pray like, you know, help this poor person or anything like this. I understand, according to scripture, that Jesus has given his disciples authority over all the, listen to me, he's given them authority over all the power of the wicked one. Let me explain that to you, then I'm going to pray for you. This is what authority is. Authority without power is worthless. Now, don't get mad at me, and don't take, I just use this as an example. I have nothing about mall cops. But when I was growing up in Cleveland, we went down to the mall. The mall cop was the least impressive person in the whole mall. Okay, they were usually overweight, and they usually carried mace, and they usually carried a whistle, and they usually nothing that could really hurt you unless you stood there and let them do that. Let them get the mace out. I'm not standing there for that, you know. Let them get their whistle. I know, I'm going to take the whistle anyway before he ever gets to it. It's crazy. But a mall cop has authority, but he doesn't have power. And you are the difference between what a mall cop is and what a real policeman is. A real policeman doesn't only have authority, but he has power. And if you don't respect him because of his authority, he'll reach for the power and stuff. So let me explain this to you, that a person that has power but not authorized is like a thief that comes to your house with a crowbar. And yeah, he can bust open the door. Yeah, he can come in and subdue you if he wants to, but his power is illegal. It's unauthorized. But you're an authorized man or woman of God. And the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you've been authorized by Jesus to put a stop to it. You're stopping right here. This far have you come, no further shall you go. In the matchless name of Jesus, get out. Go on now. Get your little furry, scurry butt out of here. Excuse my French. Praise God. I just went a little ghetto, went a little too far. Jesus, forgive me. Hallelujah. But listen to me. Oh, you shouldn't be running for things that go bump in the night in your own house. You in your house and something got you scared, you better stand up in your God-given authority because you've been anointed by God. It all started back in Genesis. He said, I'll give you dominion over everything. You go read it, that's what God told man. He said, I give you dominion over everything. And then Jesus came back and he says, look, I'm going to do this thing again, because it really didn't go over the first time like it should have. He says, I give you authority. I give you my authority. Go ahead and slap that thing around. Go ahead and jump that thing. Go ahead and say no to that thing. You know, I love my kids, but they come up to me talking that yang. I'll be like, take your hands off your hips. and quiet down because I'm anointed. I'm a man of God, and you will not talk to me like you want to talk to me, like you feel like talking to me. You know, my son, my oldest boy, Jeremy, he's stronger than me. He's taller than me, but he's not going to rule where I'm at. Where I'm at, I'm the boss. Okay, where you're at, I just want to put this in you. Where you're at, you're the boss. Now, God is a real good God, and God's anointed me, and he's anointed you. And if you don't know that, the anointing is not a feeling. Anointing is something to do when you act on your faith, when you step out of the Lord, when you obey him. The anointing won't come if you don't move. But if you go to lay your hands on the sick, bam, the anointing comes. You go to cast out demons in his name, the anointing comes. Ah, as you speak, God will move through you. If you say in the name of Jesus, you foul, dark spirit, loose your hold and go now in the name of Jesus. It shall by no means remain where it's at. It's got to go. It's got to go.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.